When we started this particular the teachings on the tabernacle, one of the things I shared with us was this, that we are going to be going through two things. We're going to be talking about the tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, but we are going to be also talking about the theme and the promise of the Lord that he gave to us and stated to us actually way back in January. That's when the Lord gave me the word about this new year that we are in. And he said at that time that it was about the establishment of his covenant. So in addressing the Feast of Tabernacles, I'm going to be taking the theme of the covenant also. Because the tabernacle in the wilderness, the events and the happenings in the wilderness were as a result of the covenant that was stated by God to the man called Abraham. Amen? So we're going to be looking at both things together. So flow with me as we go into the word of the Lord. Let's start as a restatement from Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. I'm going to take it from verse 5. Genesis 15 and verse 5. It says, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. So shall thy seed be." Verse 6. "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Verse 7. "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. I brought you all the way here to this land so that you can inherit it." Verse 8. "And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" 9. "And he said unto him, Take me an heifer 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." 10. "And he took it unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not." 11. "And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away." 12. "When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an horror of a great darkness fell upon him." 13. "And he said unto him, Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs." So we know for sure Egypt does not belong to Israel. So the Egyptians can feel very safe. "And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. God is making a covenant. He's told Abraham, this land, I brought you from the Ur of the Chaldees, and I brought you here, and this land is your land. I'm sure he's excited about that this land was his. And now God asks him for sacrifice. He places sacrifices before God. And now God says to him, your children are going to be in a distant land, and they are going to be afflicted for 400 years. God, you said this land is mine. Why are my children over there? And why are they getting afflicted over there?
Somebody say timing. Verse 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. You're not just going to go out there. Your children are not going to just go out there and suffer and go through all of that affliction. They're going to come out of that land with great substance. That's incredible. Let me put it this way. God will never owe you. God will never owe you. You're never going to give to God and outgive God. You will come out of this situation because every problem has an expiration date. Problems don't last forever. You're going to come out with great substance. 15. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Wait a minute. You told me you're giving me this land. You mean I'm not going to enjoy it? It's not just about you. I'm starting something with you, but somebody's going to enjoy it. Abraham went through it, didn't enjoy it, but it's my turn to enjoy it. Amen? Because I am grafted into this family. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next verse. But in the fourth generation, he said 400 years. So the fourth generation must be, God is defining a generation as 100 years. They shall come hither again. They're going to come back to this place. Why? For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The reason they're going to be away from here is because the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. Why is this important? Why does God want to take them away from where the Amorites, the word that Amorite means a sayer. From the evil words that have been proclaimed, why is God separating them from that? He separates them from that so that they do not become part of that lifestyle. But he separates them from there and he takes them to Egypt. Now, the plot thickens. And this is where it gets a little bit interesting. Because sometimes it's hard to understand why God does what God does. Let me skip ahead. I'm going to leave the theme of my message today, which is I'm going to be talking about Joseph. I'm going to leave Joseph alone for a moment. And I'm going to go past and come past the years that Joseph was prime minister. And here the children of Israel are being afflicted. So they had some good years where Joseph was there, and now they are experiencing bad days. But these bad days are getting longer and longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. And you know, the story is being told to the children that have been born. We used to enjoy this land. This used to be our place. We had an uncle, a brother, who used to be prime minister of this land. And the people are saying, where is that God? Where is that God that made it? I don't believe you. You guys are busy telling us a whole bunch of fake news. You're telling us that we had somebody in here and he was so powerful and he was so anointed and he was a dream interpreter and he was prime minister and he was in charge of this whole place and he made this land great and here we are. Here we are suffering, making bricks, suffering. No, don't tell me that story. Don't tell me. There is a good God. Don't tell me that God was once upon a time. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about that. But God is not frustrated. God knows what he said he's going to do, and he's going to do what exactly he said he's going to do. Let me skip a little bit. I'm leaving Joseph alone for a moment to give a hint. Here is a Pharaoh who is busy killing the sons of Israel. Because he feels, in spite of all the affliction, these people can't be stopped. They're going to overwhelm us. Isn't it amazing that God says it's an affliction? But the Pharaoh and the Egyptians are saying these people are getting too big. They are going to overwhelm us. It was only an affliction by measurement, based on what they used to know to be true. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying if you used to drive give me the name of a very expensive car. A Rolls Royce. Maserati. That's where you used to live your life. And now you are driving a Cadillac. Cadillac is not that bad. But it's not a Lamborghini. Capish? He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying you may be struggling right now, but you are better than those people over there. It's just a matter of measurement. So they're going through whatever it is they're going through. But here the Egyptians providing stuff for them. And all they're doing is just putting things together. But all the materials, all the substance is being given to them. And they're doing their thing. And they're building their stuff. And the Bible says, a child is born. His name is Moses. Parents of Moses are trying to keep him hidden. But they could not hide him anymore. I'll go more in details some other time about this. In one day, they created an ark. They put the child in that ark, and they put him on the Nile. This child floats away, and the sister, the aunt, Miriam, is watching from the distance. Just like somebody's watching you from the distance, God is working something. And God propels this thing through that crocodile-infested water and brings that child to a particular location, moves the princess from her palace to go bathe herself, and she sees this tar basket, ark. And she goes looking. What princess goes looking for a tar basket? God is working. When you don't know that God is working, God is working. He's a master chess player. He's reading everything and moving what he needs to move. Just like God is moving things around you right now. And you don't know what makes sense or doesn't make sense. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on him. He's moving everything. And here comes this woman, opens the basket. There's this kid in there. Oh, baby. Oh, it's cute, baby. It's a Jewish Hebrew child. And you're supposed to be killing the child. No, she takes the child in. You know Pharaoh saw this child at some point. Where did you get that? I know you weren't pregnant. Where did you get this child from? It's a Hebrew child. Oh, no, you can't kill this one. This one belongs to me. And now Pharaoh starts taking care of Moses. Are you with me? You say, Pastor, why did you go past Joseph and you went to Moses and you went through the experience of the people? Because I want you to understand something. Life is about ups and downs. But when you're going through, you know, if you go flat, you're dead. He flatlined. That means you're dead. But life is about ups and downs. But the problem many times is this, that we don't understand that God is the same God in a mountaintop as well as in a valley and everywhere in between. That no matter what you're going through, God is still with you. He has promised, as we said yesterday, as he declared to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never do it. On your worst days, God is still there. On your best days, he's there. No matter what the situation, he's there. He is there watching out. Hallelujah. So here's Moses. He grows up. He's raised by the Pharaoh. He's trained with the knowledge of Egypt. Because God has to have his inside person. Moses knows exactly how Pharaoh thinks and what is happening there. And one day he sees the children of Israel. One of them being persecuted. And he steps in there and he strikes the Egyptian. The Egyptian dies. And he hides the body. You know the rest of the story. I'll go into those details another day. Long story. He's out. The one that's supposed to save them is out. And he's gone for another 30 plus years. Another valley experience. You think God is mesmerized by all of this? What you call a setback? No. He's going to meet with him in the backside and reveal himself to him and say to him, listen, you are not going to bring man-made solutions to what I want to do. Are you with me so far? Take those shoes off of your feet because I want you to understand that I am the miracle God and I depend on myself. I don't need your crazy ideas. Now, they are traveling through, and you know the rest of the story, I'll come to it another day, and all the plagues and all the things that happen, and the crossing of the Red Sea, and heading, trying to complete an 11-day journey, and they make it in 40 years. Huh? When you think you are out, they draw you back in. But that day ends because one day they will end up where God said they will end up at. Back where God said they will end up in. Time does not permit me to go into this. But in all of those mistakes, all of the failures, God was in there causing all things to work together for good. Say, Pastor, what are you trying to say to me? I'm saying, Even in the defeats and in the failures and the mistakes, God has already calculated all of that in the algorithm.
What he said he's going to do, he's going to end up completing. And he has, how many of you know God knows yesterday, today, and forever? Okay. He knows about the mistakes you're going to make. And it's already calculated. It's already in the calculation. Let me say it again. It's already in the what? So if God said it, it is going to happen. The issue is that many times we draw in our failures and we allow those failures to discount us from experiencing all God has for us. Yesterday is yesterday. Today is today. It is past because it is past. It's a new day. So forget about what happened yesterday, the mistakes you made yesterday, and start a new day. After all, there's always a new day. Yeah? There is always a new day. Let me say it again. There is always a new day. Now let's talk about Joseph a little bit. Genesis 37. Book of Genesis, chapter 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger. And the notification from that particular narrative is this, that Jacob, at this time when he was dwelling in that land, was not seeing himself as a stranger in that land. In coming into the fulfillment of God's promises, you've got to come from the place where you come into agreement with God that what God said is now your reality. And never lose hold of that. Make that shift. It used to be a promise, but that promise, I declare, is a now experience for me. And you stay there. And so he did in the land of Canaan. He didn't see himself as a stranger there. He saw himself as an owner there. Let's go on. Verse 2, these are the generations of Jacob. Now you know that when the word of God says these are the generations, we should now have a list of names. But the Bible doesn't give us a list. It just says Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah. Now, Bilhah is Rachel's maid. And he has two sons. And with the sons of Zilpah. Zilpah is Leah's maid. Are you with me so far? These are concubines. She has two sons.
The sons of Bilhah, the word of God tells us. And by the way, Bilhah means troubled. So this is where Joseph is. Joseph is hanging around troubled people. Bilhah had a son. His name is Dan. Dan means a judge. That's the first one. And then she has another son called Naphtali. And Naphtali means the one who's wrestling, a wrestler. Zilpah, it's a very interesting name. It's a nice name. But it tells us something. It means to trickle. Trickle. You know what trickle is, right? Drip, 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 drip. But it's a trickling of something that is good or bad. But that's her name, trickle. So we know that this young man, Joseph, is hanging around, troublemaker, and trickle. Drip, 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 drip. You know how long that takes? When you're hanging around, drip, 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 drip. But this is a setup because it is telling us, it's giving us a hint right from the very beginning about what is about to transpire. What is transpiring is you are going to be in a situation where you're going to be wrestling and fighting and drip, 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 problem after problem, one little here, one little there, on and on and on and on and on. We have Zilpah. She has two children. Asher, that's a very good name. Asher means to be happy. But happiness is not joy. This is fake. Zilpah, that's fake. And the message is this. Don't hang around that which is trying to imitate that which God has for you. Because you hang around that, you are going to have issues. And guess what? Joseph is discerning. And he discerns that these guys are not the real deal. And so he goes to his father and he says to his father, these guys are not for real. He brings a bad report. An evil report to his father. And when he does that, you know it's problems. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of an old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Joseph is child number 11. Amen? He makes him a coat of many colors, meaning that Joseph, who's supposed to be the son of the one that he really loved, yeah? This child, number 11, is supposed to be number one child. Are you with me? This is supposed to be number one child. And in the heart of Jacob, this one is still number one, not Reuben. This is my number one. And he gives him a coat. And when he placed that coat on him, this coat of honor, many-colored coat, the young man's eyes opened up. And he began to dream dreams. And he dreamt a dream. And in his dream, he says, he saw his brothers, they had sheaves. That's the harvest. And his sheave was down. But then he said, My sheaf rose up and stood, and your sheaves bowed down to it. Message. You may not be the first in the natural, but the first is going to become last, and the last is going to become first. Hallelujah. It says, your sheaves bow down to mine. And he told it to his brothers, and they understood what that meant. You mean we're going to bow down to you? And they hated him. They hated him because this man is declaring a prophetic statement. Now, oh, Master God. Joseph. If not for Joseph, there will not be a nation called Israel. Let me say that again. If there was not a Joseph, go back to verse 2 and see it. 37:2. These are the generations of whom? Jacob. And Jacob is going to become who? Israel. Joseph being 17 years old, it did not give a list, it just made a statement. Because if there was no Joseph, there will not be a fulfillment of what God said to Abraham. Your children are going to be in a distant land. It was all still in the plan. All of the difficulties were still in the plans of God. I don't know where you've been or what you've been going through, but I'm telling you, it's not the devil. God is on the move. You think it's the devil? Let me tell you when you know it's not the devil. When you are busy rebuking it, and you are binding it, and you are casting it out, and the thing stays there and says, who are you casting out? You know, okay, we better go to another plan. God, where are you in this? Be wise, because you're going to be wasting your time. It's not going anywhere. Not everything is the devil. But this we do know, that while not everything is the devil, God works the devil. He works him. Oh, my Lord. You know, Job wouldn't have been in any trouble except that God pointed Job out. Why did God do that? Strange enough, it was because God was trying to protect Job. So what do you mean God was trying to protect Job? Here's the devil coming into the presence of God. Actually, coming into the presence. Thought this guy has been cast out. If, come here. Are you here? We're right here together. If God who cast out devil still can give access to the devil to come back to talk, what makes you think that God has locked you out? What makes you think that you are shut out and you'll never have access? No, God, by His grace, is giving you access. It's always access, if you're willing to take it. Let's keep on talking about Joseph. Joseph has another dream. What's triggering this dream? The grace of the coat that the son, the father placed on him. That is the honor, the seat of honor that begins to reveal what's inside of this man, even though he did not know what he had. He has another dream. This dream is about the stars. Just like God said to Abraham, come out here. Tell me about the stars. Can you number them? If you can number them, then you'll be able to number the blessings, the seed that I'm going to bring into your life. So he sees the stars. He sees 11 stars. He sees the sun and the moon representing his father and his mother. The mother is dead by now, because the mother died when the brother Benjamin was born. If you remember the message I preached the day that Jacob killed his wife. Remember that message? And again, they make obeisance to him. They're bowing down to him. And he tells his brothers, and he tells his father, and his father is upset about it. You mean that my wife, your mother, and myself, and your brothers are going to bow down to you, boy? What are you talking about? What kind of a dream is this that you're having? Young man is quiet. The Bible says, Jacob, even though he was upset, took this to heart. He meditated on it. I'm laying a foundation here because I'm going to be telling you more about Joseph. I'm just laying the foundation. I know you know this story. I'm stepping one step after the other to get you so that we're all under the same flow. Now, one day, Jacob looks at his son. He says, you know, your brothers are out there in the field. I sent them to a place called Shechem. Shechem happens to mean shoulder or back. And the government shall be upon your shoulders. This is a good place to go to. He said, I sent your brothers to Shechem to take care of the flock. So take these groceries or whatever and take it to your brothers and minister to them. So he goes on. And he comes to Shechem. But when, let me back up for a moment. I want to make note of something here. Jacob sent him out of a place called Hebron. Now, that word means association, a place of unity. That's where he sent him out of. He sent him away to go take care of his brothers in the place where government, governance, shoulder, back, the ability to take on the business and do things. That's where he sent him to. But when he gets to Shechem from Hebron, the seat of association, his brothers are not there. They've left there. They left the place and they've gone to a place called Dothan. Now, Dothan means two wells. I want you to take note of that. Two wells. Two wells. This place is very interesting. As you go through the scriptures, you begin to see Dothan and two wells. And the understanding is this, that in life, there are two wells that you can drink from. The well of the word of God, the truth of God, or the well of evil and lies. The question you need to ask yourself is, what well are you going to be drinking out of? What do you guide your life by? The words of the world or the word of God? They've moved to Dothan from Shechem. They've gone to Dothan and Joseph could have just quit right there. After all, these guys don't like me. Huh? I know they don't like me. They hate me. They're always calling me names and calling me this and calling me that because I had a dream. I've done my part. I've come to Shechem. That's where Papa sent me to. I've come to Shechem. I've come to Shechem, and they are not here. Maybe they went home. So I'm going back. But the Bible says, when he got to Shechem, he was busy looking around everywhere, doing due diligence to make sure that he fulfills the mandate of his father. Character. This particular aspect of his life is what is going to carry him through all the experiences he's going to go through because of these brothers of his. I will do the right thing. No matter what it's going to cost me, I'm going to do the right thing. And he's looking and looking, and somebody saw him wandering in Shechem and say, no, they've gone to Dothan. And so he goes to Dothan, and his brothers see him coming, and they said, here comes the dreamer. Ah, here comes the dreamer. We're going to kill him. And let's see what's going to come of this dream. We're going to get rid of him, and the dream will not come to pass. But you see, child of God, if they kill him, they are done. To kill Joseph means suicide. And many times, so many sons and daughters of God are busy crucifying, persecuting, knocking down, destroying somebody that God will use to bless them. And when the answer does not come and they do not receive their breakthrough, they wonder why we didn't get our breakthrough. There are so many children that have been aborted, and they are aborted, and that's the one that would have been that brain surgeon, that would have been that person that was so good with science or so good with engineering or whatever, and you've gotten rid of him, and now you're waiting for your miracle, and it's not here because you've gotten rid of the answer. The things that people do. Let's get rid of this dreamer. And we're going to say, a beast ate him up. You know, Leah's children, firstborn Reuben, when they were plotting about how they were going to kill this child and get rid of this child, because let me put it this way. Come with me a moment, because you need to understand some principles of life. Family that is outside, the further the family is, the less they know about the commitment that they need to have for family. And they are the ones that will want to grab all the power. The further they are out, the more power they want to get, because they want whatever it is they can get. And Bilhah's children and Zilpah's children are the ones who are the master engineers of what they're going to do to get rid of Joseph. And the closer one, Leah's children, they are the ones protecting Joseph. Even though they do not protect him completely, they are there. Reuben says, let's not do that. Let's not kill him. Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. There's a pit here in the wilderness. So that tells me something. The well, the two wells were in the wilderness. Come along. The two wells were in the wilderness. And guess what? When you're in the wilderness, that's when the voice of the world speaks loudest for you to find natural solutions. Be careful when you are in a difficult place to just hop and make decisions in a crazy manner without consulting with the heartbeat of God. God, what do you have to say here? Let me tell you what God does in the wilderness. He did it with Ishmael. The mother, Hagar, is fed up, left the child to die, walks away, a distance. She's crying, but the word of God says, God heard Ishmael's voice. And then Hagar saw water. When you're in the wilderness, you cry out to God, and He will show you the well from whence you need to draw out of. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm saying the Bible, the Word of God, is giving you principles and keys to live in. Principles for life. And it's saying to us today, don't get rushed. Life happens, but God is in control of every detail. As you're moving from point A to point B, God is there working with you. So Reuben says, put him inside the pit. So they put him inside the pit. And while he's there in the pit, in a dry pit, where there is no water, in other words, he's in a wilderness, he's in a pit, and there's no water there. So he's going to die from thirst. While they're doing all of that, here comes the Ishmaelites and the Midianites. They're actually the same. And they are on their way to Egypt. Here comes Judah. Judah says, let's not leave him in the pit. Let's sell him. Let's give him to these Ishmaelites and get some money for it. Reuben is not around. So Judah and them, they all agreed. They hand Joseph over to the Ishmaelites, which are the Midianites. These are the merchants. These are the money people. Hello? And they take him to Egypt. For God is in control. He's in Egypt. You know that a young Joseph who knows the interpretation of his dreams must be wondering now, I think I ate beans that night. How is it that I had a dream that my sheaf rose and my brother's sheaves bowed down to me? Here I am in Egypt. I'm getting farther and farther away from the promise. But God says, no, 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 no. You're not getting farther and farther away from the promise. You're right in the promise. You're right in my will. But no, 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 no. It can't be so, because I'm with these Ishmaelites. I'm with the Midianites. I'm getting farther and farther away from the Father who loves me. My coat is taken away from me. The coat is ripped up, torn apart, and kill an animal, dip his nice many-colored jacket in the blood. And these wicked boys take that and they present it to the Father and said, tell us, is this your son's coat? didn't tell him that an animal killed him. Jacob said it with his own mouth. Be careful. Be careful. Jacob says, a beast must have torn him apart. And the voice said, yeah, I think so. That was their plan. And now their plan is working perfectly. It's everything is firing at the right cylinder rate. The RPM is going right on, and it's feeding into their narrative. They think they got away with it. Joseph is in Potiphar's house, and the Bible says, and the Lord was with him. You know what you need? What I need? Is just to simply know that God is with me. The best gift you can give to yourself is never to break that relationship with God. The best thing you can do for yourself and for your generation. Genesis chapter 39. And verse 2. Genesis 39 and verse 2. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a what? Prosperous man. Where is he when he's this prosperous man? And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. You mean he's a slave in the house of Potiphar, and he is successful, prosperous, even in his bad situation? Absolutely. That's why, child of God, you need to give poverty and lack a very big, fast kick out of your life. That you will never be poor any day of your life, no matter where. Kick it out.
Amen.
He is a slave in Potiphar's house. But it didn't matter where he was. The fact is, the Lord was with Joseph. And because the Lord was with Joseph, he was a prosperous man. I got to have God in my life. If I want to succeed, it's not about hard work. Hard work is for wicked people. God work, because you are with God, is the powerful key to good success in life. You can work one job and it covers what other people are doing 20 jobs. Well, when I get my own house, that's when I'm going to be successful. And God says, no. You can be successful right now. You and me. Next verse, verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. So it was not just the fact that he knew that God was with him. Everybody, his master saw it. They saw it. God is with you. God is with you. Now, a question I need to ask myself and the question you need to ask yourself is this. Do people see you and say, the Lord is with you? That's an important question. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Everything that Potiphar did, everything Joseph did, prospered. Because of the Joseph-God connection. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Genesis 39, verse 21. Watch this. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. I know I've jumped ahead of myself, but I want you to understand that the reason why Joseph is succeeding is that God was with him. Guess what you must never do? Disconnect from God being with you. That's the most important thing you can do for yourself. That's the most important thing I can do for myself, to make certain that my relationship with God is intact. No matter what, I and God, one. Because that is the key to good success. Hallelujah. Anyway, you know, the devil knows that if Joseph is not going to be successful, he's got to disconnect from God. So what does the devil do? One day while he's in the house, the wife of Potiphar, who happens to be his master, catches a glimpse of this young, handsome dude. She said, I got to have that. And so she starts plotting. She's watching. And one day, when no men were in the house, the Bible very clearly states this, there were no other guys in the house, Joseph goes in to do his business, take care of things. Here comes this woman and says, you got to lie with me. The young man says, I can't do that. Everything in this house has been placed under my care. And one thing I know that the master did not put under my care is you. You are his wife. And the woman is insisting and trying to seduce him any which way she could. Grabs a hold of his jacket. And he leaves the jacket. He leaves the coat. You see, the devil thinks, if I get that coat off of this young man, he will not dream any more dreams. He will not see any visions because the power is in the coat. The power is in the coat. It's a lie. The power is not in any coat. The power is not in putting a big cross in front of your chest. Having a 10x4 Bible, that's not where the power is. The power is in God, and that God is inside of you. Let's get rid of the Bible. All these Christians are going to be weak. It's a lie. I got the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that teaches me and reveals the heartbeat of God to me. That's the connection. You can change all the verses that you want to change in that Bible. There's still a God who inspired scriptures. There's still a God. And his word is everlasting. Oh, my Lord. I remember many years ago, it was late 89. The Lord had given me a message about the 90s and going forward. He said, I want you to present a word to my people. I said, what is it, Lord? And he said, this is a decade of destiny. You were there with us at the time, the decade of destiny. That's when I preached and taught about what was coming up, even the creation of man by man. Because God was revealing to me what was coming up in science. That's when he told me that the spirit of the Antichrist is a spirit of humanism and science. That's when God told me about China. China at that time was nowhere. God said to talk to me about China, what China was going to be about. All kinds of things I cannot go into. But in all of this, God was revealing his heartbeat. I went to this story, this telling you about the decade of destiny, because what the Lord showed to me. I saw in a vision a room. And in that room, there was a chair. And there was a woman sitting on the chair. It was almost like a dentist chair, this chair. And so this woman is sitting there, and here comes this doctor, this robe, and another lady. They take this thing like a helmet, and they put it on the head of this woman. And right in the center of that helmet comes a light. Light comes on, and they take the helmet off, or this headgear, they take it off. I said to the Lord, I said, what did I just see? He said to me, you've heard of inner healing, right? I said, yes. He said, well, what just happened there is this. In the days to come, there's going to be this device that's going to be capable of erasing memories. When that light came on, it erased hurtful memories that this woman had. If she had been molested, it just erased it. If she was abused, it just erased it. Whatever it is that limited her just got erased out of her memory. I said to the Lord, I said, that must be a good thing. And he said, yeah, but that's not what it's going to be used for. I said, what is it going to be used for? He said, the day is going to come when they're going to take Christians into rooms like that. And they're going to put that helmet because they want to erase Jesus out of you. Jesus is the bad news. This Jesus is the problem. Let's go erase Jesus out of their memory. I said, that's not good. He said, but they won't be able to. I said, why not? He says, because thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hallelujah. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying to you, get the word of God inside of you. Memorize the word of God. Memorize all you want. Don't know it. Be memorizing there. Know how it works. Know what it means. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So she thought, if I take the garment, I got him. And so she did. But God was with him. When we're talking about tabernacle, we're talking about God being with us. That's what we're talking about. So he's with Potiphar. And from Potiphar's house, he's hauled into prison. He is in the prison. And guess what? God is with him. And he's still prospering there. It didn't matter. It did not matter where you placed Joseph. Not when God was with him. And what the devil wanted to do was make sure that God was not with him. And now he's denounced that, and he will not bring himself to a place where he loses connection with God. And now the Bible says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. What prison is he taken to? The prison where the king's, Pharaoh's servants are put. He didn't go to the lowest of the lowest. He went to the best prison. Isn't this amazing? A God knows how to work these things. He did not know that it was part of the promise being made manifest and being fulfilled. But he was. You don't know what your life is about and who your life is supposed to impact, but your life is there for a reason. You were born for a reason. You were gifted for a reason. Nobody here is a nobody. Hear what I'm saying to you? You are part of the mosaic of what God is trying to accomplish. You were born in this century for a reason. Child of God, please hear it. The age that you are right now is the age you're supposed to be for a reason. Abraham, you're 100 years old. You cannot fulfill what God said. You're too old, and your wife is too old. Both of you are downhill. And God says, I'm with you. There's no downhill. You're gonna have a son. Right. Why are you laughing, man? I say you're gonna have a son. By this time next year. Right. Let Ishmael be my heir. Forget this thing about, I know you promised, let me save face for you, God. Let me save face for you. Ishmael came out of my, let's use Ishmael. God does not need to save face. Does not need to save face. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. If he said it, he's going to do it. He's there. And let me wrap this up, because I know that we'll continue some other time. While he's there, a butler and a baker get in trouble with the king. And they are in the prison. So we've gone from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison. And they have dreams. And they are all messed up. They are discouraged. And Joseph, with all of his problems, still cares about people. You know, please hear this. Now I'm going to stop in a moment. What the enemy will like for you to do is become bitter because of the disappointment that you faced when you're innocent, but yet you are being accused. He wants you to get bitter. And when you get bitter, you don't care about people. And I remember it so well. Please, hear what I'm going to say to you now. Many years ago, because I've been around 87, 88. No. It's 89. One day I met with our board. And I said to them, actually we're meeting at Brother Andre's house. Deacon Andre and Deaconess Loretta. Deacon and Deaconess Andre and Loretta's house. So we're there, and I said to them, I said, you guys should pray for me. I can't feel anything. I'm dead inside. I really didn't really care about anybody at this. I was still preaching. I was still teaching the word of God. But I can tell you this, if I saw the devil live, dragging you down the street, and I could do something about it, I wasn't going to do anything about it. Say you're a preacher and you didn't have a care for the people of God. That's exactly what I'm talking to you about. I was willing to serve God, but not his people. Where did that come from? From a hurt that I embraced. Somebody that Mama and I had given our time, our attention. It didn't matter if the person called us at 3 a.m. in the morning. That's one of the reasons I got my number unlisted. These people calling you when they should be sleeping. They don't know. So, this is our call, and she was going through a crisis. We're there counseling and helping, and one day I hear that this woman is busy talking to somebody else about Mom and I, or particularly myself. I don't understand him with his accent. I said, really? You don't understand me because of my accent? Okay. I didn't know that I had embraced that as a hurt, but it was there. At that very moment, I made a vow without intending to make it. I am not going to give my time or my attention to people anymore like that. And now I was dead. My heart hardened. Couldn't feel nothing. Cried out to the board, and they prayed, and I had a television program at that time called Message of Deliverance. I went home, got in bed, and I tell Mom, I said, I can't feel anything. And she's facing the walls, and she just does this. She just touches me like that. As soon as she did, bang, it broke. I sensed something happened. What happened? I'm not too sure. But on Wednesday, I was doing a recording at the Vidian station at the corner of Stafford and Pembina. They used to be there. And while I'm sitting there doing this program, I was talking about the children of God. And I wanted to start bawling. And I said, Holy Spirit, not here. Don't do this to me. I'm not going to cry on television like Jimmy Swaggart. But man, was I ever happy? I was filled with joy. This is not going to happen again. I'm not going to ever let anybody let me go to that place ever again, because I am not about to live my life without God being with me. Let me tell you something. You want the devil to rob you of the presence of God? Hold on to a grudge. Hold on to it. And you shut your life down. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. Today, I call you out of that place where the enemy has buried you and said you're not going to come out of this. You may be dancing, you may be singing, you may be preaching, you may be doing whatever it is that you think you are doing. But if you have bitterness inside of you, I don't care whether you are right or wrong, you are killing yourself and you will not break through into the benefits that God has for you. So today, make another vow. I will not allow the devil to steal my destiny from me. Make that commitment, child of God. Make that commitment and do it today, because that's how you're going to experience your breakthroughs. And I'm going to stop there at this point. I'm going to continue tonight. I've been laying the foundation, and I'm going to take you somewhere about this story of Joseph as we're talking about the tabernacle, because this is the key to what's going to happen down the line. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Sing it one more time. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. The God we serve is a faithful God. The things we've talked about today of utmost importance. I presented what I presented to you today in a very low-key way. I should be preaching and teaching it forcefully. But I don't want you to miss anything that God is trying to communicate with us. But I want to wrap up and bring you to this place where you address whatever it is that you may be experiencing as an individual that may have caused you to become embittered. Let it go. Because that becomes a stumbling block in your pathway to God's divine purpose for your life. Those things happened for a reason. Those hurts happened for a reason. Those disappointments happened for a reason. It is part of the makeup of what God has for you. Thank God for those disappointments. Thank God for the pit experience. Thank God for Potiphar's wife. Thank God, because if Potiphar's wife had not done what she did, he wouldn't have ended up in that prison. And if he had not ended up in that prison, he would not have the experience of interpreting those dreams and ended up in Pharaoh's court and becoming prime minister. It was all part of the makeup of things. Thank God. Thank God for all the troubles you've had, because those troubles are making you who you are today. Maybe you've never prayed, "Oh God, I thank you for the troubles I've been through." I want you to begin to thank God for the troubles you've gone through. Begin right now to thank God for the troubles you went through, because those troubles were part of God's plan for you. Begin to thank God for that. Say, "Pastor, that's weird. Why should I be thanking God for the troubles?" Thank God. Because you came through those troubles, because God is with you. Thank God. Father, I thank you for all the troubles, all the disappointments I've gone through in life. For through them, you were fashioning me into the person that you want me to be. I give you praise, and I thank you, Lord, that the troubles have not swallowed me up. And this day I can testify that you are a good God. Faithful God, loving God, caring God, an understanding God, a God who elevates. I give you praise, Most High God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now begin to thank God that He is with you. That's not left you, that neither has He forsaken you. That He's been with you when you were good, when you were bad, when you were wise, when you were foolish, that God has not left you alone, that in spite of you, that He has connected with you. And this day, you know good success because He's been a good God to you. Thank Him for His faithfulness in sticking with you. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you've stuck with me through the highs and the lows, the thick and the thin. You've been God in my life. You've never left me nor forsaken me. Though men may forsake, you remain faithful. You remain steadfast. And I thank you, Lord, that because you're with me, I will never fail. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Finally, I want you to thank God for this, that you are free from every spirit of bitterness. Release it from your life right now. Let it go. All forms of unforgiveness. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Right now. Let it go. It is not worth it. It is not worth it. Nobody is worth it. You losing out on what God has for you. Nobody. Let it go right now. Just let it go. Maybe a brother, maybe a sister, maybe a friend, maybe a husband, maybe a wife, maybe a child, an uncle, a cousin, an employer, an employee, a fellow student, a teacher, a pastor, a church member. Doesn't matter who it is. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Right now. Let it just
get out of you. Not in a trickle, pour it out. Pour it out. Let it go. And be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, all bitterness, all strife, all that is not of you, Father, in the name of Jesus, we'll let go right now. We'll let it 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 go right now. And we'll receive total forgiveness and the redemptive work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise for all things, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your everlasting word. I thank you, Lord, oh God, that day by day you're leading us and you're taking us from the place of defeat to the place, oh God, where we can say without dispute that we are not victims but victors, more than conquerors, because your grace is sufficient. I speak your blessing upon every son and every daughter here today. I declare life to them. I say live and live life to the full in the mighty name of Jesus. Break forth and break out of every limitation. Come into your destiny and walk in the victory that the Lord God Almighty has established for you already. In the mighty name of Jesus, walk in the fullness of the life God has ordained for you. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes. They 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 said, yes. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give a good clap offering unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.